This is Twit.
But don't turn it off yet, because we're going to talk about Stadia a little bit. Here we are.
Stadia, you just always have to start laughing whenever you say we're talking about Stadia.
I know. And then what a way to sell the show.
Jeez.
Yeah.
1.5 years after the very first, like the initial launch of Stadia, already 1.5 years later, support is finally coming to Android TV in an official sense. Coming first to the Chromecast with Google TV, also to the NVIDIA Shield TV, NVIDIA Shield TV Pro, Xiaomi Mi Box 3 and 4. There you go, Flo. Also, by the way, the Onana FHD stick and the Onana UHD streaming device that we talked about
last
week. Wow,
Walmart streaming sticks, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, they're getting some Stadia action.
Yeah.
So, you know, like their product that they are releasing might be underpowered, but not underpowered enough to stream video through the internet in a way that allows you to play a video game. So there you go.
True.
All this arriving on June 23rd. Those people who have other hardware are welcome to experiment to see if it works on theirs. You can opt in to experimental support if you install the app on your Android TV device and see if it works. You might get lucky. It might actually just work. Just, you know, hadn't been like cleared officially to run on that, but check it out for yourself. And it does, as a reminder, it requires a Bluetooth controller or a Stadia controller, and it requires you to buy a game that exists solely in the cloud. And if Stadia ever dies, you don't get that game. So, you know, consider that too. You're paying full price for a game that could go away someday. So, I mean, I saw this and I was like, okay, cool. I'm happy that Stadia is now playable on Android TV. Why the heck was this not done sooner? This was just one of those weird examples of Google. Like, take care of like your stuff. Because
you mean before three people, like key people, left the team for Stadia? Because
this is just one of those things, you know, Stadia, like, I don't want to believe that this is something that Google, you know, released and then 2 years later kills. I don't want to believe that because, I've been interested and excited about Stadia conceptually, but like other companies, let's just say Apple, because they're coming up next, like Apple would generally do something in this realm and be sure that when they're launching their thing works on their other things. And Google just did not do that. I mean, they did that for some of their things, but not the living room thing. And that's where you want to play your video games. So why?
No, I will, for the most part, Jason, you are correct. And especially in terms of the hardware side of things. But anybody who is a content creator and a podcaster who's been navigating Apple and this new podcast next chapter, it has been one of the worst rollouts I've ever seen from a company. Like, it's been very bad. Hardware is not involved, though. It is all software. It's all platform. It's all content creators and that sort of thing. But Apple is not perfect.
Yeah, right. Fair enough. Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't mean to imply that for sure. But when it comes to their hardware, I feel like often that's kind of the allure and that's kind of the beauty of a lot of what Apple offers. They really are devoted to their hardware ecosystem and, you know, everything kind of running relatively fluidly and smoothly between them. And this was just – I mean, this just seemed very glaring to me to launch Stadia in this fashion, and 1.5 years later you're getting support for Android TV. It's like, really? Or Google TV or whatever the heck they're calling it now. Like, why did it have to take that long? I don't get it. Where do you fall on the Stadia thing, David? I'm curious.
Yeah, so I've been really mixed on this. I reviewed Stadia obviously when it first came out, and it was okay. You know, it would play really fine for a while, and then it would have some issues after a little bit, and it's just not really consistently smooth. And I did a check-in 1 year later, and it was pretty much exactly the same, which was not super promising on a really good Wi-Fi connection. But the biggest thing for me that has been really glaring is I firmly think that the Chromecast with Google TV is like one of the best $50 that you can spend ever in your tech life. I've been kind of promoting Chromecasts ever since they came out as those little, you know, first generation dongles, because they were $20. And the idea the idea of like streaming content over the internet, over a network to your thing instead of passing it over Bluetooth or something like that is just much more stable. And it feels almost magical. Like when you throw something from your phone to your TV, it still kind of feels magical in 2021, which is quite surprising. But I remember doing the briefing for the Chromecast with Google TV. And at the very end of the briefing, they asked me if there was any more questions. And I was about to log off. And I was like, wait, oh yeah, Stadia works on this, right? And they're like, it's coming soon. And I said, oh, like, and I was just like, wait, so your Chromecast 4K, which you launched like 4 or 5 years ago, is what ships with this, but your newest Chromecast that you're promoting does not work with Stadia. And they were like, yeah, it's coming soon. And I was like, okay, well, hopefully it'll come soon. It didn't come soon. I'm glad it's coming now, but it didn't come soon enough. And at this point, not to say that not putting Stadia on Chromecast with Google TV was what, I don't want to say killed Stadia, because Stadia is not dead, but like Flo said, three core people have left recently. Many mm-hmm. people have left over the course of basically since its inception. It's not a good look for you to not put this now major product that you sell on the newest version of the thing that is supposed to run your product on the biggest screen that you have. It's just like you said, Jason, like,
couldn't agree more.
Apple kind of takes a lot of time to make sure that its products are cohesive between systems. And we actually just put a video live today that I wrote a big part of yesterday about that main thing. Google can be a lot more innovative faster and get stuff out faster, because its teams are very siloed and they don't really have to work together, and they don't really have like this product stack that they just need to, like, you know, this team needs to make sure they talk to the other team. Like, for example, at WWDC, you get a text that has a link in it. And next time you open the Apple News app, there's a For You section that's like, there's this link of this article that you should read that you got a text from, or the photo album. Does the same thing. Someone texts you and it's like For You. And it's like these apps all talk together. When was the last time a Google app talked to another Google app? That's the entire reason we have 80 different chat apps on Android, is because instead of just saying like, hey, one main chat app, why don't you have all of these other apps that need chat link into the main chat app? They just add chat into their own app because they think it's easier, because their teams don't coordinate. Like when the Stadia team is not coordinating with the Chromecast team, which is the main platform that you're meant to run Stadia on, you know you have a problem.
Yeah.
And you just need it. So it's a little bit of a catch-22, because like I said, the silo teams can lead to some really amazing products. I think Google has put out some stuff that Apple would never be able to put out in a timely manner, or, you know, get better over a faster period of time. But Apple is just really good at that. Like, when it launches a product, it's like, this product works on all of our products. This service that we're launching is going to be available across all your devices, and it plugs into all your devices. So, I don't know. Yeah. It's sad because I love Chromecast so much, and I tell people all the time, like, if you want a streaming stick, get a Chromecast with Google TV, because the experience is amazing. Like, they really did do a great job with the UI and the platform on that, and being able to we actually bought one for ourselves because we reviewed one, and then I was like, I'm gonna buy one, so I did. Being able to like press the Google Assistant button and say, I want to watch this show, and it shows you what service it is on across like all of the services, and then you can just log in through the Android TV app and you're there. It's so great. Like, we had this TiVo stick that, like, believe it or not, TiVo is still around. Their entire shtick was that they had a stick that did that, that told you what service the thing was on, and they would bring you to that service and let you play it. Now the Chromecast does it. So the Chromecast lets you use all these other streaming services, but then also just throw things from your phone onto your TV. It's just like this ultimate magical hub that works with all streaming, and it even has Apple TV support now. So I really don't see a reason not to have one.
Mm-hmm. And it is so good. And it is, I echo that. And it's, my only frustration with it is that on the main screen, when you go to resume something that you're watching, and maybe this is more on the app side than on the Chromecast side, but like, I've got screaming toddlers who want to watch Frozen, And when I hit resume from the Chromecast screen, it goes into Disney Plus, but it still makes me identify which profile I'm logging in as. And so it's like, no, just remember that I'm on this profile and keep it. I even got rid of a profile on the app just to see if it would bypass it, but it wouldn't. And the same thing with HBO Max, like a lot of these apps that now have like, who's watching? We're going to cater the experience. That is like one obstacle to actually getting to the content from that Chromecast experience. But yeah. I'm sure it will evolve and as they figure out how to work with it. The whole thing about Stadia and Chromecast and like what at the end of the day, when Flo eventually writes a book about all this stuff in like 10 years, I'm sure she will. The story will be that Google had a ton of potential and they couldn't help themselves get to the finish line. The left hand never knows what the right hand is doing. They don't know how to coordinate. They don't know how to have a consolidated product that like has that vision and goes back to Jason, what you're saying, that Apple has been able to do, right? Because they're just so focused on we're doing this thing and we're not thinking, you know, when you think about the potential of that Chromecast stick with a gaming platform for the past year plus, oh my God, just left money on the table.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Especially in that
also talking
push.
To a leather, yeah. Talking to a lot of Google engineers, there's this kind of internal saying that the best way to get a promotion is to launch a product. And that's terrible because you lead up to a product, you launch the product, you move to a different team at Google, and that product falls by the wayside and doesn't get supported and eventually gets killed. And that's why we have the killed by Google Twitter account.
Absolutely.
Friend of the show.
Yep. Always got to point that out. Interesting. Google, we sound critical, but it's because we want.
Because we love.
We love you to excel and
we want to throw money at you.
Totally. We want everybody to throw money at you. Maybe not everybody. We just want what we know you're capable of. There we go.